Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Только что сбили самолет, группа минера Заинакиева упал.
Сейчас поехали.
Поехали искать и фотографировать сбитый самолет.
Дымится. Сколько минут назад?
30 минут назад где-то.
Yep, that's an intercept of the conversation between Russian separatists saying the following: we have just shot down a plane, Group Minera. It fell down beyond Yanageko, Donetsk Oblast, whatever that is. The other guy says, pilots, where are the pilots? The other one says, gone to search for and photograph the plane. It's smoking. How many minutes ago? About 30 minutes ago. So let's play a little song now, Robert. Either we'll get Dean or the other one. We got open mic to Mike on the Savage Nation. We're going to talk about who done it. There are theories galore, from the CIA did it to Illuminati to, I guess you could say, the Zionists. They're not busy enough in the Middle East. So to the lunatics who hate Zionists, I guess they did it. You could say the Pope did it. But it is Rock and Roll Friday. And if you care to play musical ideas with me, the phone number is 855-400-7282. On the Savage Nation. Let's just pray it's not the Archduke Ferdinand Part 2, this shoot-down, because the assassination of Archduke of Austria, Franz Ferdinand, in 1917, set off World War One. It was an assassination, but it shouldn't have set off a war. And right after that assassination, Austria-Hungary issued an ultimatum to Serbia, which was rejected in part, leading to a declaration of war. And this little regional war caused the Central Powers to choose sides, and World War One began. Let's pray that one weekend in December of 2013, looking back, was not the Archduke Ferdinand event which ignited World War III. But let's go back to when all of these problems began in the Ukraine. Remember, it was a nation, a single nation called Ukraine. And then a warmongering U.S. senator named John McCain went to Ukraine, dined with the far-right Svoboda Party in Ukraine. Then McCain goes, never misses a crowd or a TV camera that he can ignore. The guy is a crazy man. This guy is not a Manchurian candidate. He's beyond that. McCain later waves to the protesters, this was last December, from the stage in Independence Square during a mass rally in Kiev, standing with Tyabuk, leader of the anti-Semitic Svoboda Party. Yes, old McCain was there. And then out on the streets of Kiev, the red and black striped flag of the Ukrainian Insurgent Army, UIA, is regularly seen carried alongside flags carrying Svoboda's logo. These groups, along with the support of Senator McCain, toppled a legitimate government in Ukraine. Legitimate government in Ukraine. They overthrew a leader. They threw him out. That set up a turf war between separatists in Ukraine. We don't call them separatists. They're called, Democrat-loving girls in tight pants, and Russia. Now, would these, quote, rebels have been successful without the backing of the CIA? One can only guess at this point. Next, we had the struggle in Crimea. Remember that? Which we have documented and discussed in great detail on the Savage Nation. Now we have a downed airliner coming directly on the heels of expanded sanctions against Russia the night before, because of its support for pro-Russian insurgents in eastern Ukraine. And these events are a confluence, and they confirm what many have feared all along. The regional conflict in the heart of Europe, stoked along by our own government, through the mouthpiece of John McCain, let's pray to God does not spill outside of the boundaries of Russia and Ukraine, and envelop first eastern Europe, China, Korea, Japan, western Europe, before long the world. Let's pray it doesn't. Now I'd like some rock and roll, which I've been waiting for during that entire monologue. I'm still searching for a song. Can you believe that? They can't find Dean Martin. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. The song I really wanted to play was Don't Ask Me to Be Lonely, because I'm sitting here alone today on the Savage Nation in my studio in an unknown location on a hillside with my back to the mountain. I think the mountain consists primarily of granite with a mixture of shale. There's no coal on my mountain. And the mountain is to my back. I'm looking east. I'm broadcasting to the United States of America. And missing from my studio today is the mascot of the Savage Nation, old Teddy. Little old Teddy Savage, as you know, goes to Irene the Groomer on Mondays and Fridays. He gets his hair done twice a week. And, of course, I don't get my hair done once every 7 weeks. But that's dogs for you in the United States of America. If you care to comment on any of these topics, the phone number is 855-400-7282. Let's begin on WJR in Detroit. Daniel, welcome to the Savage Nation. Who done it, Daniel?
Let me just tell you this, sir. At any given time, there are thousands of airliners in the sky at all times. Do you find it coincidental that a Malaysian passenger jet comes up missing, vanishing, nowhere around? Same kind of jet, passenger jet, you know, not a fighter plane, nothing like. And here we have another Malaysian passenger plane shot down. And I would be willing to bet, you know, I don't even know, but I wonder if this didn't happen in like a very similar region as the first one came up missing.
Well, I don't know where the first one is. I don't know where the first one is, so we can't even answer the question. But I can answer a part of this situation to you. Are you aware of the fact that the pilot of this plane that went down over Ukraine made a sudden diversion over a war zone? Does anyone listening to this show hear what I just said? Has anyone heard that one yet? He was not even on his original flight path. The pilot of this plane made an unexpected and sudden diversion over the war zone. It was not his original flight path. Mail Online, did MH17 pilot divert into the danger zone? Aviation expert claims captain made last-minute change of course over Ukraine because he felt uncomfortable. Now, I know that conspiracy theories are running wild all over the Internet. I've read them all, and they're all over the map, and there's no point in talking about it. They say that the pilot radioed that he felt uncomfortable about the route he was flying while over Ukraine, and fatally altered his course over hostile territory, according to the expert Igor Sutyagin, research fellow in Russian studies from the Royal United Services Institute. He believes that MH17 was shot down by rebels based in the 3rd District of Torez in eastern Ukraine after mistaking his plane for a government military transport aircraft. Now, this expert told Mail Online that information had been leaked from a source he was unwilling to name, that the pilot of MH17 felt bad about his course over Ukrainian airspace, so he changed direction. This could be Russian disinformation, by the way. It also could be, and I'm going to throw it out there only because it's possible, that this plane's controls were taken over by ground forces. A ground source took over the plane's computer and drove it right over the rebel area, hoping this would happen. I got to tell you this. Obama was born under a lucky star. He is the luckiest man on planet Earth. Every time there's a major scandal that would have brought down another president within 2 months, something catastrophic happens on the world stage or elsewhere to save his bacon. As you well remember, the scandal that Obama's enmeshed in now has destroyed the Democrats' party's chances in the midterms as of right now. Because as of a few weeks ago, immigration was way down on the average Joe's list of topics that mattered to them. Yet the new Gallup poll comes out just Monday, and it says that immigration is now the number one topic on most Americans' minds, and rightly so, because he's dumping illegals all over America. He's letting veterans die in the halls of hospitals and giving these illegals gold-plated medical treatment, but worse yet, dumping them on poor communities. The next minute, bing, a plane goes down. So I'll take calls on anything you want to talk about. If we can find a song, it might be nice. Did we find anything yet? Still nothing, I have to make. What's broken? It's Rock and Roll Friday. I have no music today. I'm going home. I'm not taking that for an answer. I'll go get my own tape recorder and play it out of my studio. KSFO Cal, you're the first up. Go ahead, please.
With respect to your setup for World War One history, Dr. Savage, there's one detail I thought might interest you, and that was that there was a terrorist group known as the Black Hand that took responsibility for the assassination of the Archduke, and they knew who he was, they were, but they wouldn't hand him over, and a big argument started about that, and that was where one of the first volleys, and the reason I mention that is because this blame game that's going on now could lead to a similar situation as well once they found out who's responsible and how they're going to make them pay. Well,
here's the thing about World War One that's always impressed me since I've studied it. You know, The Guns of August was a great book about that. That war started by accident. World War One started by accident. None of the great powers wanted to get into that war. And what we see now is that the powers are almost being pushed into war. You've got lunatics like McCain, who is banging the war drums. You have out-of-work neocons like that guy with the mustache that looks like a walrus, who's always on Fox News, whose name I forget. I don't know who he was. He's allegedly a conservative. He's a grouchy old walrus-looking guy, worked for Reagan or whoever. Every other day he wants war somewhere. Does anyone remember who I'm talking about? Who's the guy who looks like a little walrus, a seal? He looks like a pet seal, and he's on Fox News continuously grousing about something because there's not enough war. He's the former UN secretary. But I can't remember his name, but I see him all the time. John Bolton. Every other day he's up there looking petulant and doesn't understand why there's not enough war in the world. So, yeah.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Clip 8, like a desk job. I need like a braille on the other side of the board today. Can you play clip 8? Clip 8. Something's wrong today, guys. I tell you, it's not...
Только что сбили самолет, группа Минера, за Янакиева, упал.
Поехали
искать и фотографировать сбитый самолет. Дымится... 30 минут назад где-то.
That's an intercept of a phone conversation between separatists saying they accidentally just shot down a civilian plane. And the end of it, they say, what were they doing flying over a war zone? And as I reported earlier on the show, the latest report says that the plane diverted over a war zone. And if you remember my show yesterday, we went all over the map, and then I gave you my theory that it was a young 18-year-old Russian separatist manning an anti-aircraft battery, got panicked, saw a plane he thought was going to drop a bomb on him, and he fired. That was my theory. I have a tape on that. I think that's what really happened in plain English. Anna on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, time to laugh a little bit. I had my diagnosis for McCain for a long time.
Anna, slow down. I'm going to translate you. I'm running English subtitles under you. You said you've diagnosed McCain's problem a long time ago. What is it?
He's on very high dosage of Viagra, non-acceptable for his advanced age, for the lack of better words. I saw this long time ago.
Wait, you're saying that because he's on Viagra, after a certain age, the blood goes from the brain to the southern hemisphere, and as a result, he is acting this way? There's no blood, not sufficient blood in his brain?
Yeah. Where I grew up, my grandmother used to say, when man's downstairs is up, upstairs is down.
Wait a minute. I want to hear that. What language did you grow up in?
Armenian.
Then tell us in Armenian how that folk saying goes. Go ahead. Come on. We need a laugh. Let's hear your grandmother's wisdom.
Yes.
No, come on. I want to hear it in Armenian. You got to make my day. I want to hear the Armenian joke.
Yep. Vara vergeta. Vera varkuka.
Unbelievable. Yep. I don't know Armenian, but as Lenny Bruce said, I never met an Armenian I didn't like. So that is a common folk, a piece of folk wisdom in your culture, eh?
Say it again, Doc.
You say that's a common folk wisdom in your culture, that Viagra does that to a man's mind over after a certain age?
There was no Viagra those days. My grandfather didn't know there was a Viagra. But she would always.
I know he ate pig entrails with chicken feathers ground into them. That did the trick. I mean, there's all of these folklore remedies. You know, the Sicilians believe that it's the sea creatures. You know, if you eat clams and oysters and shrimp and fish, that allegedly it affects a man's potency. There's actually some truth to it because they're high in zinc, and zinc definitely affects that region of a man's anatomy. I mean, that's a fact. Unfortunately for us today, most of these creatures are filled with toxic metals as well as zinc, because the same organism, like a clam that takes up zinc, it takes up antimony, it takes up lead. So, you know, you're gaining and you're losing. But nevertheless, I think that life with chemistry is much better than with polluted clams with regard to this problem. It is the Savage Nation. If you care to talk about it, this or any other topic, 855-407-282. Oh, I hope we have a good time today. I pray to God we get the soundboard working before the hour is over, before I have a stroke, a mini stroke.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is a terrible thing to be an American today under Barack Hussein, Benedict Arnold Obama. But you can't blame him for this, comma, directly, period, can you? I mean, the question is, what is it all about in Ukraine? Let's all take a deep breath. This is a war over natural gas. And I'm going to prove it to you in a collateral manner. I can't prove it to you in a direct manner. But I'm going to explain to you what's going on. As you well know, most of the natural gas that Europe uses comes from Russia, Gazprom. He's the PG&E of Europe. He turns it off, they freeze to death this winter. Okay, all the houses go cold, the pawn shops go cold, the sex stores in Czechoslovakia are out of business. And so they need his natural gas. Now, let's look at Ukraine. Ukraine is a large country. There are large stores of shale in western Ukraine. The part of Ukraine next to Russia, shale, which can be broken up and turned into natural gas. Putin does not want them to get that, because if they get that shale and they fracture it and compress it and convert it to gas, they'll be free of Gazprom, and obviously it will destroy Russia's economy. This is an economic war, as all wars usually are. In 1998, I wrote an article for Newsmax at the time that was entitled "The Oily Tracks Run Through Kosovo." And that's when Bill Clinton bombed Serbia into the Stone Age. That's when Bill Clinton used the pretext of humanitarianism to steal Kosovo from Serbia to run a pipeline through Kosovo that was necessary for some huge oil interests. That's what that war was about. And unfortunately for Serbia, they were in the way of the New World Order's oil supply routes. Well, it's the same thing here. Only they're trying to kick Putin around the way they try to kick Serbia around. They're making a big mistake, because Russia's a little different than Serbia. But let me review again for those of you who didn't follow me. It's a war about natural gas. They're fighting over shale in that region of the Ukraine that's rich in shale, that can be compressed, fractured, whatever it's called. You know, here I think it's called fracturing. I don't know how they do it. Here's the same thing here. We have the same type of reserves in our country. We could be energy independent if we didn't have a corrupt criminal administration trying to tie us all to a green contract scams. We have enough oil in the ground here. We have enough shale. We have enough, if we went for fracturing, which they call fracking, if we had let the Keystone XL pipeline bring in oil from the Alberta tar sands, we'd be energy independent and we'd be exporting energy. But because we have a criminal green administration, I know you can't believe it, but green people can be as corrupt as red people, if you know what I'm saying. Let's say green people are as corrupt as they come. These fraudulent contracts, do I have to say Solyndra? I mean, we'd all like a world running on solar energy. We're all idealists. A clean world, no pollution, never again getting behind a garbage truck or a postal truck that stinks. I mean, I'd love a truck running on a solar battery. It ain't happening. You know, develop the technology, then get back to me, but don't cripple our economy on the way. Okay, so that's where we're at with this. That's my theory. Now, how do I prove it? For what, it's well known in the industry what is under the ground in Ukraine. That's number two. But I'm about to play Hillary Clinton, and you have to bear with me. I want you to hear a series of clips, and you're going to hear where the gas comes in. Let's start with clip number 9.
Well, the questions I'd be asking is, number one, who could have shot it down? Who had the equipment? It's obviously an anti-aircraft missile. Who could have had the expertise to do that?
Next 10.
The Ukrainian government has been quick to blame it on terrorists, which is, you know, their name for the Russian insurgents. And there does seem to be some growing awareness that it probably had to be Russian insurgents. From my perspective, and I have the benefit of not being in the government.
Here it comes.
If there is evidence linking Russia to this, that should inspire the Europeans to do much more.
Here it comes.
Three counts. One, toughen their own sanctions. Make it very clear there has to be a price to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, immediately accelerate efforts and announce they are doing so to find alternatives to Gazprom. You know, Russia has not diversified its economy. It is still largely dependent upon natural resources, principally gas and oil.
Stop and right thirdly, there. So it's about gas and oil. About gas and oil. And it's interesting to me that Hillary Clinton says that Europe should find alternatives to Gazprom, while here in America she has nothing to say about the Keystone XL pipeline or fracking, which would certainly diversify our energy supplies. Very interesting how much she knows about the sovereignty of other nations, the sanctity of their borders, the sanctity of their language, the sanctity of their culture, and how much she hates such here on the Savage Nations shores, hates our borders, hates our language, hates our culture. So there we are. There we are. I've explained it to you. I go from the ridiculous to the sublime. I can laugh with you about Viagra, and then I can hit you with, well, the old saying about float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, the old Muhammad Ali saying. And that's the nature of this show. And the fact of the matter is we had a little laugh, we had a little fun, but the fact is this is a war that's brewing over natural resources. Cheryl on WBAP in Dallas. Thanks for listening. What's on your mind, Cheryl?
Hi. I just wanted to say that the lady on the phone just then was a breath of fresh air. She gave us all a laugh and all this turmoil that's going on. And I wanted to say that I just started listening to you recently, and you're growing on me. You really are.
Well, as they say in radio, we build this audience one listener at a time, Cheryl. Don't think it's unimportant that you listen. It's very nice to hear that. New listeners are great, but remember, I've been in radio for 20 years, so thank you for joining the Savage Nation. There goes another Savagette of the millions of listeners I have. That makes number 22 amongst the women. Of the millions of listeners I have, as you well know, according to the left, 99% of them are evil white males, and I have 22 women listeners. 22 Savagettes, that makes 22. 855-400-7282. Let's go to Reno, Nevada. Reno, the biggest little city on earth. Tom on KKOH. Thanks for listening. Tom, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I don't believe that that Malaysia 17 was shot down no more than Malaysia 370 was shot down. They've got a lithium-ion battery in there that's melting down. Last week, United diverted one from a flight to Midway to where the hell did it go out there in the middle of the Pacific, to Guam.
Tom, I understand that you are, a commercial pilot. Is that correct?
Yeah, I flew 25,000 hours in the airlines. I also flew 194 missions into North Vietnam.
Good God. What were you flying in Nam?
Crusader, F-8. 1,100 miles an hour. It was the last of the gunfighters. This terrific airplane flew off a carrier.
Oh, my God. That was in the early days, right? 1967?
Yeah, it was. 67, 8, and 9 is when I was there.
Did you know anyone by the name of May, a pilot by the name of May, M-A-Y?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't. I think you asked somebody else once.
Yeah, he's a friend of a very close young man, friend of the family. His dad flew 100 combat missions and 100 other missions, and he flew the planes that were almost unflyable, the ones with the highest rate of crashes because they were designed as little rocket ships with small wings. What was that, the F-111? I'm not sure what it was. I'm not positive. It was a giant fighter bomber.
We called it the thud because that's the noise it made when I hit the ridge out there.
Now you guys have always been my heroes, and I only mention it for that reason. So for an expert like yourself, Tom, you actually believe that the battery just burned up and brought the plane down?
Yeah, there's two things that you do in a simulator when you go to a simulator. One of them, you have a low-altitude emergency on takeoff where one of the engine fails or catches on fire or either on the roll or after the roll. And the other thing you have is a high-altitude emergency. And they had a high-altitude emergency where that was so compounded that there was no way that they could survive. This airplane, the 777 and the 787, the 787 was grounded for fumes in the cockpit because the batteries were burning down.
Yes, but this interceptive, but hold on, Tom. All that may be true about batteries and Boeings and all of that, but we have this intercepted conversation of separatists. Could this just be a fabrication of those trying to tar and feather Russia?
I give it a 50-50 chance that, number one, the battery burned up, and number two, they shot it down. I've had over 40 SAM shot at me. And this is a whole different SAM that SA-11 is going to take it down. That's for sure.
So you were flying at what altitude did you fly your planes at in Vietnam?
We tried to stay down 10,000 feet because as soon as you got above 10,000 feet, you got vulnerable to the SAMs. But they were not near as sophisticated as the SAMs they have today.
Yeah, but at 10,000 feet, you were vulnerable to ground fire, weren't you? Machine guns and flak guns?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was normally we went in at about 11, 12,000 feet, and they normally didn't shoot at you until you dropped your nose. So you weren't too vulnerable until you got on the target.
Tom, I want to ask you something that's a little off the track. As a former fighter pilot who risked his life over and over again to fight the communists in Vietnam, how do you feel waking up every morning seeing this administration in the White House? I'm not coaching you. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, well, you and I feel exactly the same about it. It's pathetic.
Do you believe that this man, Obama, is doing in this country exactly what Ho Chi Minh was trying to do in Vietnam?
Well, I don't know what Ho Chi Minh was trying to do. I think Ho Chi Minh was a better person than Obama, to tell you the truth.
Well, at least we were sure where Ho Chi Minh was born and where his loyalties lie. That's true. At least we knew he was 100% behind Vietnam. I see what you're saying in that regard. I don't think Ho Chi Minh was interested in the New World Order.
No. I think he was trying to do something for his country, and we wanted to go out there and show him who the hell we were, and we weren't near what we thought we were.
Isn't that something, Tom? Well, God bless you. You're the spinal column of the United States of America, and there's plenty of you still left in this country. You're not dead yet. That brings us to 46 minutes after the hour. We are, of course, talking about the jetliner shot down over Ukraine. No one has yet discussed the war in the Middle East, which is interesting to me, because this is a far bigger story in a way. Yes, of course, we're all interested in who shot the plane down. Yes. But we have a war going on in the Middle East as a result of Obama's lack of leadership. Hamas has gone crazy with rocketry into Israel, because if we had a strong American president, Hamas would have been reined in. But we have a weak American president, or worse yet, a sympathizer of the cause, let us put it to you that way. Israel is now in Gaza. It's going to get a lot worse because they're going to go further. They're going to go much deeper than they are right now. Now they're in the outskirts. They're in sand. If you know something about Gaza, there's an actual Gaza City, which is a real city. God forbid they have to go into Gaza City. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It is Open Mic to Mike Friday on the Savage Nation. We're talking about the Malaysian airliner going down. We're talking about the Middle Eastern war. And, of course, any topic that is intriguing you. The fact is that this war in Ukraine was started by the West by overthrowing a democratically elected president of Ukraine. John McCain was the front man for the Western powers, meaning the EU, the United States. He went there and stirred up trouble last December during the Russian Olympic, the Olympics in Russia, if you remember. When Russia could not react, there was McCain stirring up the masses to riot. It's a shock to think that there's not an anti-Nobel Prize in the world that was given out, let's say, by a conservative group, because I would give that prize to McCain. He would get the anti-Nobel Prize for starting wars. Okay, so he stirs up the masses. They riot in cahoots with the girls with the tight jeans and the iPhones, which excite those in the media, and they're the face of all the revolutions. Behind them are the right-wing maniacs, not like our right-wingers, but the real bad ones. The machine-gun-toting right-wingers, the ones you never hear are right-wingers. The real Nazis. Those are the real right-wingers that the left seems to be in love with. They overthrow the leader of Ukraine. He seeks refuge in Russia, and the rest is history. And that's all over natural gas, because they want to break the shale. That's my theory on it. That's what this is about. WMAL, Washington, D.C. Seth, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Seth?
Dr. Savage, thank you for taking my call. Ever since I got off the boat, coming to this beautiful country in 98, I've been listening to you, and I agree with most everything you always say.
Panyumayesh Paruski? Panyumayesh Paruski?
No, sir.
Where did you come from?
Bosnia.
Okay, so what's your point today?
Well, my point today is that, I enjoy listening to you up to the point when you start talking about Serbs and those people that did some crazy things when I was there as some kind of romantic warriors. Well, they far from it, Dr. Savage, and I want you to know that. I was there firsthand and witnessed everything. So much so that it seemed as if the guy, this piece of human garbage that took down this plane, was fighting that war in Bosnia when I was there.
What do you mean? You don't mean the exact man who shot the rocket?
The man, yeah, absolutely.
Well, how can you know who did it? How do you know the name of the man who fired the rocket?
I can only tell you what I can see online, and I have, I don't have any direct contact with anybody, but this piece of garbage is everywhere on website. His name is Igor.
So wait, who are you saying? Wait, let's assume that you know what you're saying. I'm not going to challenge you because I'm not following you completely. Igor is identified as the man who pulled the trigger?
Yes, sir.
And what is his nationality?
I think he's Russian.
But he did it by accident, didn't he, Seth?
Here's something that I don't think you know. These people lie all the time, and they take pride in their lying. And I'm talking about Russia.
Right, but here's my point. What does Russia gain by being further alienated by the rest of the world?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. It's a place to escape the horrors of the world while swimming in the horrors of the world. In other words, it's very much like daily life in the United States of America, where we learn to live with tension, confusion, doubt, hope, dreams, guilt, angst, anger, hatred. Well, here's something that will probably shock you if you're a supporter of the first Marxist president of the United States of America. But it won't shock me because it happened before. Barack Hussein Obama has just picked a female nun pilot to head up the U.S. Air Force in the Pacific. Now, last week, Hagel, who, by the way, is the most dangerous defense secretary in U.S. history, if you chose, let's say an enemy invaded America, Let's say the Chinese invaded secretly, took over the country, and didn't want to shock the population because we're armed to the teeth, and they don't want to have a ground war in the U.S. against their troops because we probably cause a lot of damage to the Chinese, the Chi-Coms, if they came here, because there are so many people armed to the teeth. We wouldn't just roll over as they would in countries that are not armed. So what you would do is you would slowly deball or eviscerate the military, the police, not by getting rid of all the military who can fight or all the police, certainly, but by decapitating the command structure. So Obama first purged the military of all combat commanders who would have blown the whistle on Benghazi or would have stood up to him over what he's done with the Bergdahl swap or God knows what else. They're gone. Last week, he announced the appointment of a four-star admiral in the Navy. And here's a woman who never flew an airplane, is now going to command naval aviators. How can a man pay respect or be respectful to anyone who has not done what he has to do, who's going to send them into harm's way? Answer, he can't. Well, he just did it again. The White House has picked the first female general to head the Air Force in the Pacific, which will make her the first non-pilot, I repeat, non-pilot, to command air power in such a large theater of operation. Pentagon announced this week that Air Force Lieutenant General Lori J. Robinson has been nominated for promotion to four-star general and as commander of Pacific Air Forces. Did you hear what I just said to you? Now, this woman will have responsibility for security in the Asia-Pacific region. Her nomination was sent to the Senate for confirmation. Of course, we don't have the guts and the Republicans to stand up and say, this is outrageous. This is stupid. You can't fly. You're not getting the job. Get out of here. Go take a job at Harvard. Go run the University of California like Janet Sterno or whatever her name is that they just got rid of. Remember Big Sis? She's now wrecking the University of California by appointing her friends in every department. This has never happened before. General Robinson is not a career pilot. She's an air battle manager. She has served as a passenger aboard the Air Force's surveillance aircraft, the E-3A WACs and E-8 J-STARS. So she was a passenger on surveillance airplanes. But a retired pilot said that there's a reason the Air Force historically has put a pilot in charge of large combatant command air forces. And here's what he said. It is because you make operational decisions that require the understanding of what you're going to ask pilots to execute in combat, where the wrong decisions mean the difference between life and death, the retired pilot said. Now her vice commander and director of ops will be rated fighter pilots, but she still makes the decisions. You know who did this? Obama. You know who put her in charge? His stooge, Chuck Hagel, but it's going to get worse. General Robinson was nominated amid a diversity push by Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel with a general focus on women's issues by the White House. Chuck Hagel has vowed to stamp out sexual assaults in the military. As you well know, that's a created fiction. And he said he's open to studying whether transgender people are permitted to serve. So you see, it's not well enough that he's putting women who can't fly in charge of combat missions. He now wants to put transgendered, whatever they are, into the Air Force. And this is what happens when you have an insane administration. At this point, it's no longer Marxism, it's insanity. This is what happens when you put diversity ahead of survival. And had we had Obama as president at the outset of World War II, you'd be speaking German or you'd be a lampshade. This is the Savage Nation, 855-407-282. As I pointed out in the last hour, the war in Ukraine is over shale. It's about shale, it's about natural gas, and that's what the war is about. It's always about natural resources or about territory related to natural resources or something to that effect. Rarely is war about anything other than money. 855-407-282. How do you feel about Obama appointing a woman who can't fly in charge of the men who have to go into combat in the Pacific when China is building up its military? You think that's a good idea? Does it make you feel better that there's diversity? It doesn't matter whether she can command properly. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you feel good. What matters is that Obama can invite her to the White House and have a picture taken with her showing that he's diverse. You know, if ever we survive Obama, and if ever there's an administration that's really an American administration with our true national interests at heart, I think Chuck Hagel should be brought up on charges of having destroyed our military. I think Chuck Hagel should be tried for the murder of the U.S. military. WMAC Georgia, Nate, welcome to the Savage Nation. Nate, you're on the Savage Nation. What's your point, please?
Yes, sir. Discussion regarding General Robinson. She's not a pilot, but she's what's called an air battle manager. They are a type of air traffic controller that manages combat operations. General Robinson flew and commanded the 552nd Wing, which is the AWACS wing.
Wait, she didn't fly, sir. She didn't fly. She was a passenger on it.
Now she is.
She's not a pilot, Nate. She is not a pilot.
During her
she served aboard the Air Force's surveillance aircraft, the AWACS and the EAJ stars, but she was not flying the plane.
Well, I would be willing to say that as a veteran myself, that she has the qualifications to do, to manage those operations.
Well, what do you mean the qualifications? If you were a fighter pilot, would you rather have someone who flew in air combat or somebody who's never flown in air combat commanding you to risk your life?
Well, I'm not a fighter pilot, but the purpose of what the air battle managers on JSTARS and AWACS, what they do.
So, in other words, you yourself are an Air Force bureaucrat. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not an Air Force bureaucrat.
Well, you said you're in the same career as General Robinson. I don't know what you're saying. Please tell us what you do.
Same sort of thing. It's command and control of airspace, basically managing the airspace, providing a...
All right, so you feel that you have as much qualification to command military fighter pilots as she does, is what you're saying.
I wouldn't say commanding fighter pilots, but it is all an integrate, symbiotic...
What do you mean? But we are talking about commanding fighter pilots. You're going to make a decision which asks pilots to execute maneuvers or actions in combat where the wrong decisions can mean the difference between your life and your death. Wouldn't you rather respond to someone who's flown in battle than someone who hasn't?
The whole purpose...
No, you're not answering the question, because you are a trained stooge of the Obama administration. You yourself were probably promoted as a result of diversity requirements. And so you think that anyone who is, quote, diverse is as good as anyone else. But that's not how the real world works, Nate. Just because you feel good about yourself doesn't mean you're really good at what you do, Nate. I'm sorry to tell you. It would be like somebody coming into talk radio and advising me how to do a talk show who is tongue-tied. Well, let's say someone who has never actually talked on air but has, I don't know, been in ad sales. I don't know how to put it. They can't tell you how to do a talk show. This is verbal combat. I fly in verbal combat every day. If I want somebody to advise me on what I'm doing, I would respect somebody more if they had tried to do what I did for at least 3 minutes, let alone 3 months or three weeks. So now we have an admiral that he appointed, who was an African-American woman, by the way, again, diversity. Now we have a Mrs. Robinson, who has now made a four-star general, is not a pilot, who's going to now be commanding war-fighting components for the Pacific and for the U.S. Air Forces in the Pacific. This is all the while China is building up. Do you understand how insane diversity for diversity's sake is? Let me tell you what I wrote 30 years ago. I think it went like this. Without quality, there can be no equality. Did you hear what I just said? Without quality, there can be no equality. This is equality for equality's sake, which means it is suicide for the U.S. Air Force. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Obama picks female non-pilot to head Air Force in Pacific. She was sought in diversity drive. How do you feel about a glorified air traffic controller now being in charge of the entire Air Force in the Pacific? How do you feel about that? Is that a good thing because it's diverse? General Robinson was nominated amid a diversity push by Defense Secretary, the enemy of America, Chuck Hagel, and a general focus on women's issues in the White House. This is what we mean by social engineering. Instead of being focused on national security, this moron, Chuck Hagel, is focused on women's issues by the White House. Here's what people wrote. Non-pilot to manage the Air Force? Isn't that like hiring a community activist to be president? Another one wrote, I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. Somebody wrote, in short, if Barry Suetro can water down the military to a point where they can become totally ineffective, then he can, in his delusional, insane mind, justify the insertion of the UN into every thread of fabric of the United States of America. Another one wrote this. The only serious opposition to his citizen militia is the servicemen. They hate him. Watering down and PCing combat commanders trickles down to them. Next one. If this woman had any courage or was a military person through and through, she would refuse this appointment because she is unqualified and does not want to put our pilots at risk with their incompetence. If she accepts this appointment, given solely because she's a woman, according to the White House and State Department, then no officer should treat her with respect. Next one wrote, the Air Force has always had problems like this. It is a wonder it has been operationally effective as long as it has. Sheer luck, in my opinion. It's unbelievable to me. She's qualified because she's a female. That's all. That's her general qualifications. She's not qualified to be the commander. I'm sure she's great at what she does. But she was only nominated because she's a woman, no other reason. Not because she achieved any distinction in air combat. But then again, what was President Obama qualified for? His only qualifications were being a fine community organizer. And so now you see he's not capable of being a world leader. This is unbelievable to me what's going on. Last week it was a woman again. Another woman appointed as a four-star admiral who has never flown a jet, who's now going to command naval aviators. I don't understand if you can't understand what's going on. How can we ever come back to this nation? How can this nation ever defend itself again? How is it possible? WJR John from Detroit, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike, we have a woman, a female general of color, in charge of the M1 United States Army Tank Command in Warren, Michigan.
Hold it. Let's stop right there. Did she command tanks or drive them in Iraq or Afghanistan?
No, she's appointed. She's appointed, and she's...
Oh, well, she looks good on a brochure, I guess. I don't know. How could you put someone in charge of a tank, the whole tank community, who's never driven... Can she drive a tank?
M1 Abrams tank? I doubt it. She's just there because she's there.
I see. Well, it's important to have diversity. That's true. Look how well it's done everywhere else. I mean, diversity for diversity's sake. And if you want to categorize this as racism, you're wrong. It's because you're a moron if that's your immediate knee-jerk reaction. Let me prove it to you. I invite you to my website, michaelsavage.com. And I feel obligated to show this to you. I woke up this morning, went through the news. I found a story that got me so upset and so sick. I pray to God it's still on the website or I'll break something in the room. It can't have been dropped. It's impossible. I will break something. I'll start smashing things in here. Where is the story that I'm looking for when I need it? Can somebody... Here it is. Got it. On the left side, we just shot down a plane. Then underneath is a panel of cartoons. What happened to Hope and Change? That's hilarious. Then there's an ad. And underneath that is a story that got me nauseous. I almost started to cry. Cowardly cops kill innocent black man. That's my headline. That's not the headline from the Daily News. If you see the video of this, you'll want these cops given life in prison. Is a black guy, a 400-pound asthmatic Staten Island man, a cop comes up to him and says to him he's been doing this, he's been doing that, and he says, leave me alone, I'm innocent, stop picking on me. Now this guy, if you watch it, is one of these gentle giants. He's the father of a number of children. And these cowardly cops, four of them, he did nothing, mind you. In fact, all he did was break up a fight, according to eyewitnesses. These four cowardly cops come up to him. They start to talk to him, and he says, leave me alone, I've done nothing. Leave me alone, just get away from me, I did nothing. He didn't threaten them. He's like a big guy, like a friendly big guy, 400-pound asthmatic black guy. A cop puts him in a chokehold where he can't breathe. He starts to foam in his mouth. The other punk cowards grab his hands and feet and slam his head against the sidewalk and start stepping on his head. And poor Eric Garner starts screaming, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. He's begging them to get off his head. Now remember, he did nothing. Within minutes, he's dead. He's unconscious. An angry crowd gathers in Staten Island, and he's dead. And the police, you got to watch this video. Every one of these cops should be tried for murder. If it was up to me, I'd put him in prison for life. I know they say, oh, how could you do that? They have a tough job. Well, if it's a tough job, then do it right. Don't kill innocent people just because you have a gun in a club. Go and look at the video. You decide on your own. A guy who did nothing wrong. And watch the video. A married father of six is taken down by four punk coward police with guns and clubs. Take a look at the women with the big hips there and the big guns standing on the sidelines, the supervisors, doing nothing. You want to see diversity? There's a picture of diversity, so don't tell me.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I don't give a damn anymore. I care about Obama wrecking my country. I care about him bringing infected individuals into my nation. I care about all of the liars who are telling us that it's part of diversity to bring in illiterate peasants into the country who will never learn the language, will never respect this country. I'm sick of it. And Obama has to be the luckiest man on earth. First of all, how an incompetent man like him could rise so far in recognition and get away with it for so long means he has a lucky star flying over him. That's all I can tell you. Then, just when immigration becomes the number one issue in America's mind, according to Gallup, all of a sudden the plane goes down. Everyone's forgotten what he's doing at the border. But it gets even worse. Now come the liars, like Representative somebody Schakowsky, saying that legalizing illegal aliens would actually raise wages, really, of all workers. You got to hear clip 17. You're not going to believe the lies. Listen.
We know that comprehensive immigration reform would add billions and billions to our economy. It would raise the wages, really, of all workers, because right now immigrants are undocumented immigrants are exploited and even paid below the minimum wage.
Now, this is the lies that they tell each other. This is the lie that Nancy Pelosi believes to be true. Do you believe that legalizing illegal aliens would raise wages of workers? You know it's to lower the wages. I want you to listen to the big lie as it's repeated in clip 18. Listen to this.
In so many ways, it would help our economy, help American, Native American workers, and be a plus for all of us. And it's just another one of those issues where if the bill were called, it would pass. We have the votes. There are enough Republicans who would join Democrats in passing comprehensive immigration reform, and then our country would be more prosperous.
You should all be put in prison. That's how prosperous it would be. The only thing that would make America prosperous is if all of you traitors were thrown into prison. That's the only thing that would make America prosperous again. I'm sorry I had to say that. I'm sick of these liars. I'm sick of these criminals. I'm sick of these gangsters. I can't take another minute of this. That's all there is to it. That's all. I mean, what can I ask you? If I'm right or wrong, I know I'm right. It's going to raise wages. Can anyone listening to this show tell me that you actually believe that legalizing 30 million illegal aliens would raise wages when you know that the only reason that Facelberg, Zuckerface, whatever, and the others, and Microsoft want illegals legalized is to lower wages. The only reason they ask for B-1B visas to be expanded is to bring in more workers from the third world to lower the wages of workers that are already here. In other words, to destroy American IT workers who might be making $60 an hour, $70 an hour if they're good. Well, what would you do if you were Bill Gates and you're one of the richest men on earth? Wouldn't you want to be richer? Wouldn't you want to fire 18,000 people to make more money? Well, that's what he just did. Microsoft just announced they're throwing 18,000 people out on their behinds because he's such a kind man in a little sweater. Another one with the act worked out. Another one like Warren Buffett with the act worked out. With the aw shucks, I drive an old Buick kind of game. I can't believe the kind of shenanigans they get away with. Yeah, that's going to raise wages for everyone. Flooding America with illegal aliens will raise wages. Where are the unions in all of this? Unions used to stand for workers and workers' wages. It seems to me that the union should be defending union workers. We all know it's just going to water down the value of workers. It's all going to do is lower wages, nothing else. So there we are. KSFO Max, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes. Michael, you said it beautifully the other day. Our standards are being lowered. These people are demanding we accept lower standards. For example, I'm on a muni bus.
What, you mean like putting a woman in charge of combat commanders who never flew an airplane? Putting a woman in charge of the Navy who has never commanded a naval aviation fleet or never flown an airplane? You mean that's what you mean by lowering standards? It's one thing to do it at the University of California. Look what that cesspool has become. But it's another thing to do it inside the military.
You know, Michael, every time I hear your show, I swear I hear Barbara Streisand in the background singing Sheeple.
Well, that's not bad. I hope you don't mean I'm one of them, because I know. You mean instead of people, it's called Sheeple?
So
you're not the guy who was in the shootout on Paradise Drive yesterday, Marin County, are you?
No, Michael.
Have you read that story, that crazy story here? Guys, listening to me in America, this is a crazy story. Max, thank you. This is a nutty story. I reported it last night when the road was closed. I live in San Francisco, and I live in a county near it that's all lily white, 90% lily white. And it's a safe, wonderful place. I actually love it very much, not so much for the safety, although that's a big part of it. It's because the climate is beautiful, the mountains are gorgeous, and the people, although they're mindless liberals, they leave you alone. They don't bother you. Well, yesterday, the most unexpected, shocking thing occurs. Two white guys, one is 69, the other 71. The guy is a doctor. They get into a road rage incident on a little country lane. The moron chases him home. The doctor pulls into his garage and, trying to get away from the maniac, starts to close his garage door. The other maniac, another white moron, crashes his car into the garage door. So the doctor's freaked out. He pulls out a .357 and fires warning shots at the hill, but the guy keeps coming at him, so he shoots him three times in the chest. They arrested the doctor. Can you believe this? Can you believe that they would arrest this man? Now, maybe it's protocol. Maybe you have to always arrest somebody in a shooting. I don't know what the law is, but to me, it's an open and shut case of self-defense. The other guy was on his property, and he had fear for his life. I would believe that he has the right to defend himself. What if the guy would have beaten them up? But the doctor did the shooting, no less. But two white guys, no illegal aliens, okay, just lily white suburbs, this happens. I never heard of anything like this. The whole country seems to be at odds with itself. It really is. The country's going mad from tension. No, I'm not blaming it on Obama, please. 855-407-282. Debbie on WBAP in Dallas, welcome to the show. What's on your mind, Debbie?
I was in the Air Force, Pepper Savage, and I kind of disagree with a little bit of what you're saying about the admiral. She's an admiral, right?
Now, wait, last week it was a four-star admiral in charge of the entire Navy in the Pacific. She never flew a plane. Now we picked the nun pilot to head the Air Force in general in the Pacific. The first time in history, by the way.
I don't know if I necessarily agree that you would need to be in the cockpit to command, because...
Well, no, not under Obama. You don't have to be in the cockpit to command America either. You could be on a golf course and have a BlackBerry. You can do a very good job with that. In that sense, sure, you could command, but you can't command rationally if you never flew a plane. How can you tell a guy what to do who's flying in combat if you've never flown in combat? How can you know what he has to do?
Simulators?
Oh, sure. I guess Obama was in a simulator called America before Saul Alinsky made him president. How did that work out for the country? You know, real life is not the same as a simulator, Debbie.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that what if...
I don't mind that he picked a woman. I don't care what she's color or no color. I don't care if she's gay or straight. She should have been a combat veteran. If she was... There are many women, by the way, who fly in combat jets. Why didn't he pick a woman who flew in combat? That's my main point. Let her be a woman of color, lesbian, I don't care. But she flew in combat. Then a man could look up and say, at least she knows what I have to do. But why do you pick a woman who never flew before? That's a humiliation of the pilots, Debbie.
Maybe she is a brilliant strategic mind.
Well, let her try. That's true. Let her be an experiment. That's what we need right now, as China's building up its military. Let's experiment with the next engagement with China to see how good she is.
Well, I saw an interview.
Let's run the experiment everywhere. Let's see if diversity is better than picking someone based on quality. Let's see how that works out in the next war.
I'm not picking anyone on diversity. Because like I said, I was in the Air Force. Everyone in the Air Force and in service is pretty much on equal footing. And you're kind of all in a big family. It's not like being in...
Well, what is this big lie about sexual assault in the Air Force? Where'd that big lie come up? How'd that all of a sudden occur? That's the biggest problem in the world. While China's arming, while we're going to war with this one, that one, now the biggest thing is sexual harassment. How did that originate?
Kind of shocked me, because when I was in, it was in the 90s during Desert Storm.
Yeah, and of course, everybody was respectful with the occasional jerk. This all started, and I remember it as sure as I'm sitting here. You see, I have a memory like an elephant. This started in the 1990s with Congresswoman Pat Schroeder, who started the big lie about the tailhook scandal. And she was the first one to try to purge the Naval Aviation divisions of the military based on the fact that they made rude statements in an elevator. She was the one who first decimated the Navy. But it's not stopped since. These are people with an agenda. This is the worst form of social engineering. This would be like picking. I'll put it another way for you. I got it. Here's another one. Maybe I can put it in a non-military context for those of you who don't understand what I'm saying. You have surgeons, heart surgeons, brain surgeons. You have neurosurgeons. You have pediatric neurosurgeons, some of the most skilled people on the planet. Now you're going to pick someone to be chief of surgery who's never picked up a scalpel, but they have, I don't know, what have they done? They've sold textbooks on surgery. They've been in a surgical ward. They had a simulator of what it is to be a surgeon. They have a karaoke machine at home called Let's All Be a Surgeon. I mean, are you kidding me? How could a surgeon respond to a non-surgeon in a surgical ward? The surgeon's cutting this, cutting that. One little slip and the patient's dead. He's going to listen to someone who never picked up a scalpel? What in the world do I have to do to explain to you that this is an example of a world that's gone insane under Barack Obama? Hey, you know, I'm almost out of time and it's Friday. And we need a little rock and roll because it's now 46 minutes after the hour. And I waited so long for that saxophone piece. I wish we had it right now. We could pick it up where we left it off. But the fact of the matter is we don't. This is the Savage Nation. We're talking about all the news of the day. If you care to join us, there's absolutely no open lines. I'll be right back. That's all. Bingo. That's all.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com. The world is such a horrible, it's so terrible. People are so depressed. Ukraine, Israel, Gaza, whatever you say, it is a nightmare. Now we wake up and we find out that it's a Potemkin military, battleship Potemkin. They're putting people in charge of combat units that never fought in combat. It's upside down. He's purging the military. You don't even understand this. You think it's wonderful for diversity? You're wrong. This is how you purge a military. This is how you... how you destroy the sense of comradeship in a military. It's psychological damage to combat pilots to put a non-pilot over him. I don't care whether it's a man or a woman. I don't care if it's a man from the moon. You don't put someone who never flew an airplane in charge of men who have to fly in combat. Period. End of story. That's it. Diversity. Everything diversity. Okay? That's the war you're going through right now. And this is not going to stop, by the way. It's not going to stop. So, we have other things to talk about, which is the flood of illegal aliens coming over the border. They're not stopping. No one's stopping them. Air Force Command nominee is first woman non-pilot. Two-thirds of illegal immigrant children approved for asylum by the criminal administration. Obama calls for Ukraine ceasefire, blames Russia for downed passenger jet. Oh, yes, indeedy. The border, the border, the border. The nation hit the boiling point. And all of a sudden, the plane went down. The luckiest man on earth. Things don't happen by accident. No, sorry, Bob. Things don't happen by accident. The luckiest man on earth is Barack Obama. Every time he's been enmeshed in a scandal that rose up to the national consciousness, an international incident occurs. I'm saying it's luck. I didn't say anyone did it. He's just a lucky guy. How lucky can a man... How lucky can a good guy be? It's unbelievable to me. This is unbelievable to me. Look what he's doing to us. Yeah. Criminal poser in the White House. Here's what someone wrote. The criminal poser in our White House is intentionally subverting everything that makes America the greatest country on earth. He and his political appointments are an insult to America. That's what someone wrote. He said, how many chiefs are unable to shoot arrows or ride a horse? Someone wrote that. No one said she's disqualified because she's a woman. That's not the reason. She's unqualified because she has no fighter pilot experience. She is the first to be promoted without such experience. And after 5 years of this man, you still don't appreciate the fact that experience matters? You could see he has no international experience, that he's all a sham. Remember in the beginning how the crowds came out of Munich? And he almost said, ich bin ein Berliner. He almost did Kennedy's Ich bin ein Berliner. The Germans loved him. They thought that a Messiah had arisen. Now you find out that he's just another man, in this case, a rather shallow one at that.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The day of protests around America, you wouldn't know it from the vermin in the media. No, you wouldn't know that. Border protests are taking place this Friday, meaning today, across the United States from people who've said enough is enough from this criminal administration. Hundreds of people in various places across the United States are holding a national day of protest, rallying against the dumping of illegal immigrants, against amnesty, and against the border surge. There are 34 demonstrations occurring today in Texas alone, including in every major metropolitan city from El Paso to Houston. It is called the Make Them Listen movement. When have you heard about this? Have any of the vermin in the media told you about these protests? Not one of them has, have they? They are sowing the seeds of destruction of the United States of America. This is the grapes of wrath that the Bible has warned us about. And the grapes of wrath are being sown by Barack Hussein Obama and his minions in La Raza. Yes, indeedy. That's what's going on. They're saying niet to them from Massachusetts to Maine. The people who have to put up with this nonsense are saying we don't want them in our schools. We don't want them in our hospitals. We can't take care of them. Dallas, 2,000 kids from Guatemala and El Salvador and Honduras are being pushed into the Dallas area alone. Now, we all have compassion for children who need help. But can someone listening to this show tell me where the money is supposed to come from? Can someone listening to this show tell me what sane nation on earth would bring people in when you have veterans dying in the hallways of VA hospitals and they can't take care of veterans? Why? And yet the radical leftist establishment continues to tell us that it's the right thing to do. There's a weasel named Robert Reich who's been out of power for a long time. And like all of the weasels who get thrown out of office, they go to the University of California at Berkeley or some other denizens of liberal insanity. So here's Robert Reich having the audacity to tell us that border children should be declared drug war refugees. Listen to what this wackadoodle says in clip 15.
We are implicated. We're implicated in a variety of ways. Number one, we are the customers. I mean, if there weren't a lot of Americans seeking marijuana and heroin and cocaine, powdered cocaine, there would not be a drug war. There would not be violence. I mean, Central America and Mexico are the corridors, the highways taking all of these drugs to American customers.
Listen, you moron. Listen, you were always stupid, Robert, which is why you always were in government or in the universities. The reason you're in government or the universities is because you're too stupid to have ever held a private sector job. First of all, everything you just said makes no sense because most of the marijuana that the people are using is domestically grown. That's number one. Number two, the president of Honduras herself said that children are not leaving because of violence. Robert Reich. She said they're leaving because they want a better life. In other words, they want to free ride you. You know why I despise Robert Reich? Not because I know him personally. I know the type. I grew up with this type of weasel. And I'll tell you something else about him. I never forgave him for one thing, even though I don't know him personally. He was the Commerce Secretary, I believe, under Bill Clinton, right? Now he's been hiding in universities ever since. Well, naturally, Robert Reich has a wife. And years ago, I'll never forget it as long as I live, it was over 20 years ago, She went up for tenure at a university. I think it was in the East Coast for sure. And they denied her tenure because she had no scholarship to justify tenure. And she sued the university to win tenure. That's the kind of people the Reichs are, in my opinion. So now this guy is suddenly telling us that the border children should be declared drug war refugees. Listen to clip 16 from Robert Reich on the Savage Nation.
With regard to these children, and many of them are refugees from these drug wars, we do have to very quickly figure out how many are in fact refugees, and if they are refugees from our drug war, we've got to help them. This is a humanitarian issue.
You know, Robert, you and your wife should take in how many, 5, 10, 20? You're rich people. She has a nice tenured position. You make a lot of money at Berkeley. You've got money salted away. Why don't you take in 20 and set... why don't you lead by example? Why don't you lead by example? I don't understand this. All of these liberals tell you to take in the refugees, but why don't they take in a few themselves? I'm waiting for Nancy Pelosi, who washed the feet of refugees, who called them sacred people. I'm waiting for Nancy Pelosi to lead by example and say, I'm taking 20 into my house on Pacific Heights because I have such a kind Catholic heart. I'm waiting for Barbara Boxer to take in a few into her house. I'm waiting for Dianne Feinstein and her husband to take in 100 of them. They have enough estates all over the country to put them in. Have you seen them saying we'll take them in? Let's take a couple of calls. San Francisco, KSFO, my home market. I love KSFO. Let me tell you why. I helped build a station back in the 1980s when I started in radio. No, 90s, I'm sorry. It had been another station. Then at the time, it was bought by Disney, and they said they're going to have a conservative station. They picked me to lead the station. And I did, and I was on it in the way, way back in the early 90s. And I remember those days. They were magical days for me. And I remember being on the air, and there's a reason I'm telling you this story, is that as the years went on and the radio business changed and ownership changed and management changed and blah, 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 I was not on in San Francisco in my own backyard for several years. I was on up in Sacramento on a great station. I'm not on that one anymore because it's owned by a competitive a syndication company. But I'm back where I belong. I mean, I'm back home. And I'll tell you why it means something to me. Although I'm on 250 or 40 stations, and some of them are monsters and big and much bigger than KSFO, it's very important for me to be on in my own home market. It's where I live. I've got to be on. So let's go to KSFO, Line 9. Janet, you're on the program. Go ahead, please.
And we love it that you're back, Doctor.
Well, I love it. I mean, because this way, when I go to the supermarket or the mall, I can see the liberals sneering at me again. It's a pleasure.
Doctor, I saw you at the Marin Civic.
You were one of the people who went to my compassionate conservative events?
Oh, doctor, my husband and I were in the aisles roaring.
I was doing compassionate conservative events to thousands of people, while people who are now in radio were nothing but government enforcers, who are now pretending to be talk show hosts.
Doctor, remember when you put that headdress on, it was the metal knitting?
Oh, I have a videotape. I just found it. You were there that night?
Honey, we were rolling in the aisles. My husband and I were screaming.
Janet, it's funny you mention it because I'm looking at these DVDs of my early big events, right? Marin Civic Center, 2,000 people at a time. It was so much fun, but I looked at that one and I said, oh, my God, am I going to regret looking at myself in that big headdress that I wore?
Oh, no, doctor. We were laughing. You reminded us of... Who was it? Bugs Bunny, when he had...
Oh, that's when I did Doc... It was the third act of a long night. I had been drinking on stage, and I came out from behind the curtain late at night as Dr. Unsavage in that white headdress. Is that the one?
That's the one, honey. But you reminded us of, when she was with Elmer Fudd. He had the Viking helmet on. And
yeah,
the...
yeah. No, I used to do Dr. Unsavage, but it takes too much pressure on my voice. Dr. Unsavage, for those of you who don't know, is when I take calls from the opposite point of view, and I give the liberal answer to every question, and it's kind of fun, and it really exercises my mind, and I have to do it on the spot. The problem is it stresses my voice out. So how do you feel about women in the military combat positions who've never been in combat?
I think we need to worry about it. I think it's a pattern with this president. He seems to put women in these positions of power. Hillary Clinton took the fall for Benghazi. HHS, Kathleen Sebelius. IRS, Lois Lerner. I think we need to take pause.
That's very interesting. Now, I've not so jokingly said it's Barack Obama and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse who are leading us over the cliff's edge, haven't I?
And you mentioned them right before we speak. I'm just concerned about it. I mean, this jet, this plane going down in Ukraine, we're thinking it's the Russians, probably is. Is he gearing this up for some sort of military action?
Well, it's the way that most demagogues get out of trouble, Janet, and I thank you for calling from KSFO. It's funny. I scan television movies at night, and I stumbled on one from the 80s last night. Listen to this. I don't remember the name. It was a plot about a U.S. president, a comedy, whose poll numbers have collapsed, so he creates a false war with Canada in order to drive up his poll numbers, because everyone knows that when there's war, a president's popularity goes up because people rally behind the commander. And so Clinton did this, as you well know, when he was in trouble with Monica Lewinsky. It was the wag the dog scenario. He declared war on Serbia. Remember that? A war that was unnecessary. Wore the bomber jacket. He became suddenly popular again. I sincerely fear what this demagogue and his advisors is liable to do next. That's what I am telling you. Over the weekend, something bad's going to happen. I hope I'm wrong. I really hope that I'm wrong. It's that simple. 855-400-7282. If you care to sound off on any of these topics, you're a very unhappy person, and I suggest you call 911, take two Valium, and get back to me on Monday. Let's take a couple of callers. Let us go to, again, KSFO. There's no other caller. Oh, here, Steve on WBOB in Jacksonville, Florida. Jacksonville in the Panhandle. That's the real Florida. Where I have a house in Florida is not the real Florida. It's a suburb of Queens. If you divide Florida somewhere in the middle of it, anywhere, Palm Beach and South, that's really an appendage let us say, Queens and Brooklyn. And in the south of Florida, it's an appendage, let's say, of Venezuela. Jacksonville, Florida. Steve, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, this is Steve from the Bronx in Jacksonville. Listen, Michael, great show. I graduated from CCNY before it became victim to diversity and political correctness.
Right. Let me tell people what he's saying. The City College of New York, Queens College, all of those universities were superb institutions before they were destroyed by diversity, meaning forced diversity, meaning all qualifications were thrown out the window and the universities tumbled into the garbage. Everyone knows that. And only when they put qualifications back in and they started admitting kids irrespective of their, let us say, diversity status, the universities went up in quality again.
They did. And this is the Cultural Revolution. Barack Obama is looking at China. We all know what happened in the Cultural Revolution. Everything was turned upside down. The privates became generals. In this case, the people who are unqualified are now running the military. It's his way of continuing to destroy this country. The Antichrist was born in the Middle East. His father was from Kenya. The Antichrist was born in the mid-60s when Barack Obama was born. We are seeing the end. He's destroying...
Wait, who is the Antichrist, though? Who is this Antichrist that biblical people talk about? I'm not up on that. Who is it?
Well, it's this figure from ancient times who was going to rise in the East to destroy the world, and that Antichrist figure will be rising from the East. And his.
Yeah, well, you could argue that it's Putin then from that point of view, couldn't you, if you were into that theory, right?
It could be, but I'd look more at Kenya, which is more a Middle Eastern...
Well, you said that the Antichrist was born in the East. You didn't say in Kenya.
Well, it's close enough.
Oh, come on. That's stretching it. When the Bible says born in the East, they were not referring to Africa. They were referring to the East. Let's be fair to the argument. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It's the Savage Nation. As you know, Israel has launched an operation in Gaza. They're going too cautiously, according to military analysts. Hamas has done what's expected. They've run into crowded towns to use civilians as hostages. And military commanders, who I'm reading, are saying that unless Israel goes into Gaza and commits a psychological blow upon them rapidly, this operation will bog down and Hamas will have a psychological victory. And we don't know if that's going to happen, because if Israel does not apply the full weight of its military against Hamas, Hamas will come out of this mildly damaged. They don't care about the damage to the buildings. They don't care how many civilians die on either side, because they'll get all the money they need from our good friends in Qatar, or whatever they call it today. Every day is another pronunciation, or from Saudi Arabia. They don't care about devastation. They don't care about fatalities. They don't care about the ruined lives. And they will get the money back. And if they come out victorious, meaning not destroyed, they will then be triumphant like the Lebanese Hezbollah in the Second Lebanon War of 2006. And so Israeli tacticians' analysis that a slow-moving military campaign will let Hamas come to terms with a sense that their aggression has achieved nothing, they're going to make a mistake. Hamas will come out ahead of this unless there's an iron fist brought down upon them. On the other hand, analysts are saying that Hamas has misread Israel when they calculated that the Israeli Defense Forces would never send troops into the Gaza Strip, because they're now in the Gaza Strip. And so if the leaders of Hamas, who is a radical Palestinian group, if they believe that Israelis will not venture into the densely populated urban alleys of Gaza City to destroy them in their bunkers and to destroy the military machine, let's say that if they calculated that right, then Hamas will have won this war. Israel will come away with a black eye. And that's what happens when you have a military advantage and you don't use it. And unfortunately, this has happened before. There's no question Israel can go into Gaza City and crush them. The problem is the public relations that would ensue. But Israel should know by now that they can't win no matter what they do, and so they better take their enemies out while they can. They never should have given Gaza back to them, because this should have been expected. But this should be a lesson to the world of what to be expected if you give up so-called West Bank territory, Judea and Samaria biblically. You're going to have the very same thing happen, only worse. And so if you look at a map and you see names such as Ashkelon, Ashkelon is a biblical city. Ashkelon is where Samson was put into the arena by the Romans and tortured, by the way. It's a historic city that's very interesting. I was in Ashkelon many, many years ago. It's just one of those places that as you walk in it, you can literally feel the history under your feet. There's nothing like Jerusalem, by the way. I haven't been there in 20 years. But you ask anyone. You go to Jerusalem, you know you're in the center of the world. And it is. It's always been the center of the world. And what you see are Christians, Muslims, Jews, and you realize that it is the center of the world that we know. That's Jerusalem. But now we have a war that's going on that has been going on for thousands of years. How it ends, anyone knows. Will they go into Gaza City? Will they invade Ulmagraka, Nusray, Mugazi, Deir al-Baha, Rafah? I don't know.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Только что сбили самолет, группа Минера, за Янакиева упал.
Сейчас поехали.
Поехали искать и фотографировать сбитый самолет.
Сколько минут назад?
Ну, 30 минут назад где-то.
That's an intercept of a phone conversation between separatists saying they accidentally just shot down a civilian plane. And the end of it, they say, what were they doing flying over a war zone? And as I reported earlier on this show, the latest report says that the plane diverted over a war zone. And if you remember my show yesterday, we went all over the map. And then I gave you my theory that it was a young 18-year-old Russian separatist manning an anti-aircraft battery, got panicked, saw a plane he thought was going to drop a bomb on him, and he fired. That was my theory. I have a tape on that. I think that's what really happened in plain English. Let's just pray it's not the Archduke Ferdinand Part 2, this shootdown, because the assassination of Archduke of Austria, Franz Ferdinand, in 1917, set off World War I. It was an assassination, but it shouldn't have set off a war. And right after that assassination, Austria-Hungary issued an ultimatum to Serbia, which was rejected in part, leading to a declaration of war. And this little regional war caused the Central Powers to choose sides, and World War I began. Let's pray that one weekend in December of 2013, looking back, was not the Archduke Ferdinand event which ignited World War III. But let's go back to when all of these problems began in the Ukraine. Remember, it was a nation, a single nation called Ukraine. And then a warmongering U.S. senator named John McCain went to Ukraine, dined with the far-right Svoboda Party in Ukraine. Then McCain goes, never misses a crowd or a TV camera that he can ignore. The guy is a crazy man. This guy is not a Manchurian candidate. He's beyond that. McCain later waves to the protesters, this was last December, from the stage in Independence Square during a mass rally in Kiev, standing with Tiahrt Buk, leader of the anti-Semitic Svoboda Party. Yes, O. McCain was there. And then out on the streets of Kiev, the red and black striped flag of the Ukrainian Insurgent Army, UIA, is regularly seen carried alongside flags carrying Svoboda's logo. These groups, along with the support of Senator McCain, toppled the legitimate government in Ukraine. Legitimate government in Ukraine. They overthrew a leader. They threw him out. That set up a turf war between separatists in Ukraine. We don't call them separatists. They're called, Democrat-loving girls in tight pants, and Russia. Now, would these, quote, rebels have been successful without the backing of the CIA? One can only guess at this point. Next, we had the struggle in Crimea. Remember that? Which we have documented and discussed in great detail on the Savage Nation. Now we have a downed airliner coming directly on the heels of expanded sanctions against Russia the night before because of its support for pro-Russian insurgents in eastern Ukraine. And these events are a confluence, and they confirm what many have feared all along. The regional conflict in the heart of Europe, stoked along by our own government through the mouthpiece of John McCain, let's pray to God does not spill outside of the boundaries of Russia and Ukraine and envelop first Eastern Europe, China, Korea, Japan, Western Europe, before long the world. Let's pray it doesn't. Are you aware of the fact that the pilot of this plane that went down over Ukraine made a sudden diversion over a war zone? Does anyone listening to this show hear what I just said? Has anyone heard that one yet? He was not even on his original flight path. The pilot of this plane made an unexpected and sudden diversion over the war zone. It was not his original flight path. Mail Online, did MH17 pilot divert into the danger zone? Aviation expert claims captain made last minute change of course over Ukraine because he felt uncomfortable. Now, I know the conspiracy theories are running wild all over the internet. I've read them all, and they're all over the map, and there's no point in talking about it. They say that the pilot radioed that he felt uncomfortable about the route he was flying while over Ukraine and fatally altered his course over hostile territory, according to the expert Igor Sutyagin, research fellow in Russian studies from the Royal United Services Institute. He believes that MH17 was shot down by rebels based in the 3rd District of Torez in eastern Ukraine after mistaking his plane for a government military transport aircraft. Now, this expert told Mail Online that information had been leaked from a source he was unwilling to name that the pilot of MH17 felt bad about his course over Ukrainian airspace, so he changed direction. This could be Russian disinformation, by the way. It also could be, and I'm going to throw it out there only because it's possible, that this plane's controls were taken over by ground forces. A ground source took over the plane's computer and drove it right over the rebel area, hoping this would happen. I got to tell you this. Obama was born under a lucky star. He is the luckiest man on planet Earth. Every time there's a major scandal that would have brought down another president within 2 months, something catastrophic happens on the world stage or elsewhere to save his bacon. As you well remember, the scandal that Obama's enmeshed in now has destroyed the Democrats' party's chances in the midterms as of right now. Because as of a few weeks ago, immigration was way down on the average Joe's list of topics that mattered to them. Yet the new Gallup poll comes out just Monday, and it says that immigration is now the number one topic on most Americans' minds, and rightly so, because he's dumping illegals all over America. He's letting veterans die in the halls of hospitals and giving these illegals gold-plated medical treatment, but worse yet, dumping them on poor communities. The next minute, bing, a plane goes down. Let's all take a deep breath. This is a war over natural gas. And I'm going to prove it to you in a collateral manner. I can't prove it to you in a direct manner. But I'm going to explain to you what's going on. As you well know, Most of the natural gas that Europe uses comes from Russia, Gazprom. Or he's the PG&E of Europe. He turns it off, they freeze to death this winter. Okay, all the houses go cold, the pawn shops go cold, the sex stores in Czechoslovakia are out of business. And so they need his natural gas. Now, let's look at Ukraine. Ukraine is a large country. There are large stores of shale in Ukraine which can be broken up and turned into natural gas. Putin does not want them to get that, because if they get that shale and they fracture it and compress it and convert it to gas, they'll be free of Gazprom, and obviously it will destroy Russia's economy. This is an economic war, as all wars usually are. In 1998, I wrote an article for Newsmax at the time that was entitled "The Oily Tracks Run Through Kosovo." And that's when Bill Clinton bombed Serbia into the Stone Age. That's when Bill Clinton used the pretext of humanitarianism to steal Kosovo from Serbia, to run a pipeline through Kosovo that was necessary for some huge oil interests. That's what that war was about. And unfortunately for Serbia, they were in the way of the New World Order's oil supply routes. Well, it's the same thing here. Only they're trying to kick Putin around the way they try to kick Serbia around. They're making a big mistake, because Russia's a little different than Serbia. But let me review again for those of you who didn't follow me. It's a war about natural gas. They're fighting over shale in that region of the Ukraine that's rich in shale, that can be compressed, fractured, whatever it's called. You know, here I think it's called fracturing. I don't know how they do it. Here's the same thing here. We have the same type of reserves in our country. We could be energy independent if we didn't have a corrupt criminal administration trying to tie us all to a green contract scams. We have enough oil in the ground here. We have enough shale. We have enough, if we went for fracturing, which they call fracking, if we had let the Keystone XL pipeline bring in oil from the Alberta tar sands, we'd be energy independent and we'd be exporting energy. But because we have a criminal green administration, yep, we're trying to follow up on the invasion of Gaza, the military Gaza ground invasion by the IDF. The IDF says it's going in there to break up Hamas and other terrorist organizations in Gaza, who will not stop shooting rockets into Israel. And the question is, where does this end? I don't know how this ends. It's biblical. It's Cain versus Abel. It's been going on since biblical times. I don't think it's going to end in our lifetime. All I know is that people are dying. It's as simple as that. Israel doesn't target civilians, but civilians are being killed. That's the problem. In fact, there were four Palestinian boys playing ball on the beach who were executed by accident, perhaps, by the Israeli Navy, to be honest. I mean, people die in war, but, you know, that's what happened. That's what terrorists do. They target civilians like they did us on 9/11. It's to panic the population. But the reverse usually happens. The reverse almost always happens when you target civilians, by the way. The people usually draw together, and they become more defiant. Hitler tried to terrorize the English in World War II with the V-1 and V-2 rockets. What did that do? The British became more defiant. The Islamists tried to panic the American people with 9/11, and what happened? We drew together like we haven't been together since Pearl Harbor. And then Bush went in, maybe the wrong country, maybe the right country, but he went in and he gave them a good shellacking. Wherever he could find them. For whatever the reason, he gave them a good shellacking. So this is what's going to happen, is they're playing with fire every time they take on a more powerful military. Now, unfortunately, in the long run, I'm afraid the balance starts to tip in the other direction. That's the real problem. But that's a topic for 100 years, 10 years from now, or 15 years from now. Who shot down the airplane is the real question. Who shot it down? Was it Putin? Was it Obama? Was it the Ukrainians? Shoulder-fired missiles cannot attain the 33,000-foot altitude.
Right.
So therefore, it was a highly sophisticated military weapon. And as I reported first, it's now being picked up by AP because I've studied this. It has a range of 72,000 feet, or an altitude that can reach 72,000 feet, which is astonishing. The Russians designed it to hit our spy planes. They designed these in the 70s. And the fact of the matter is they were used against our flyers in Vietnam, incidentally. But these are much more advanced, obviously, 50 years, 45 years later. And we don't know who shot it. The Russian rebels said they didn't have a Bach missile launcher. The Ukrainians say they didn't have a Buk missile launcher, so who owned it? Who shot the thing? I don't have an answer. You see, we don't know. But we need to stay to the, at least keep some of the facts. At the same time, Israeli military launches ground invasion in Gaza Strip against Hamas. And it's really to destroy the underground tunnels that reach into Israel. I don't know if that's going to be enough. You see, the problem is that they're at war, and the other side will not stop until they win, whereas Israel always stops before they win. Now let's go back to the main topic of the day. If you're a conspiracist who despises Benedict Arnold Obama, you say he's involved. If, on the other hand, you're a cool-headed person like Cool Hand Luke, you say, wait a minute, we don't know who did this. Probably one of the Russian kids manning a Buk battery got freaked out, saw a jet, thought he was going to get bombed and pressed the button. That's a theory. Or you could say the Ukrainians did it with Russian equipment to blame the Russians to bring world sympathy on their side. Or, you know, anything's possible. We'll never know the truth. This is like who killed JFK. You think you're ever going to find out? I mean, you do know that half the things that occur, you never find out what really happened. So I have one question for this audience. Why was this plane flying in a war zone? All of the commercial airliners were told to stay out of this area. Another Malaysian pilot is this dumb, and it's flying over Ukraine's border with Russia, despite political unrest in the area? Why? Tell me why a commercial plane would be flying over an area where two aircraft were shot down just this week. No one has an answer to that. Did you know that the U.S. FAA has barred U.S. airlines from flying over this region of the Ukraine for quite a while now? Why would Malaysia permit this to have occurred? Tell me why. You don't have an answer to that either. I mean, I don't either. You know, who's the captain, by the way, of this airplane? And we have a missing Malaysian jet because of a captain that we don't know. Now we have another Malaysian plane. Again, Malaysian plane, Malaysian plane, Malaysian plane. Why was he in a war zone? Why? Who sent him there? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Well, as we cruise into the end of the Open Mic Friday on the Savage Nation for July 18, 2014, the whole country is talking about one thing and one thing only, which is how lucky can Obama be? His latest scandal, which is flooding America with diseased and other immigrants, has just disappeared. The new villain is not the tuberculosis bacillus coming over the border, nor is it the H1N1 virus coming over the border as a result of Obama. No, it's now Putin. Putin is the new enemy of the world. Now, there's no question in my mind that this was a mistaken firing by some 18-year-old kid on the Russian separatist side. I said that yesterday after we talked about it. What sane Russian would do this? Okay, accident, accident, accident. You don't start World War III over an accident unless you're John McCain. The only one who would want to start World War III over an accident would be John McCain and the neocons, and of course the military-industrial complex. That's what people are talking about, no question about it. Four cases of life-threatening plague found in Colorado. Feds are dropping unknown number of illegal aliens around the country. Obama's going to force cities to take them in. Two-thirds of these children are approved for asylum, including gang members. Maybe Barbara Boxer can take a few of the tattooed gang members into her house. Or Nancy Pelosi. She seems to think that they're all sacred. Meanwhile, in the Middle East, there's a war. There's a war. Israel has invaded Gaza to wipe out that nest of rocketeers, and they're getting ready for a wider ground assault into Gaza itself, per se. They're in Gaza, but really on the outskirts. Rocket sirens wail during call of Obama telling Netanyahu he's deeply concerned. In between Obama's fundraising and getting ready for a nice vacation over in Martha's Vineyard, he had a minute or two to call Netanyahu and tell him he's deeply concerned. Meanwhile, Israel has evacuated diplomatic families from Turkey. There is so much good news out there. I'm giving you all the best. The best is yet to come. Right here on Monday on the Savage Nation, you've given me 15 minutes, and I've given you America. This is Michael Savage saying good night, and God bless America.
Savage.